Roberts also.
Your sister, she's Jennifer Judith. Is that the way you saw your mouth?
Yeah.
No, I didn't think I saw you.
Here we go. Paloma, did you do the homework? And Marcelino. Bear Brothers. Madeline. Come on, man. Joshua. Teresa. Joseph. I take it that was a yes. Marianne. Claire? Yes, Father Francis. Nicholas?
Yes, Father Francis.
There he is. And Gregory?
Yes, Father
Francis. Alex?
Yes, Father
Francis. Andrew?
Yes, Father
Francis. Luke? Sophia, Abigail,
yes,
Ada,
yes, Father Francis.
Eleanor,
yes, Father Francis.
Paul,
yes, Father
Mara,
yes, Father Francis.
Joseph,
yes, Father Francis.
Michael,
yes, Father Francis.
Come on. Claire Ann,
yes, Father,
whose parents today are celebrating their 20th wedding anniversary, huh? They were at Mass, they got a blessing after the Mass. Congratulations, Jose and Carolyn. Your mom's not here right now. Okay. Oh, Bear Brothers, there they are. John Paul.
Yes, Father Francis.
Joseph.
Yes, Father Francis.
That was a hearty yes. Peter.
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay, and we got two more that just came in. Alyssa, did you do the homework?
Yes.
And Karina? Adriel? What's that? Did he do the homework? You don't know. It's a mystery. There he is. Adriel, did you do the homework? Yes? No. Announcements. Father Marks. Okay, we all know what happened. Our parish is in mourning. If you want to know my thoughts, I preached on it at 5 of the 6 Sunday Masses here. And that was put on Facebook, so you can hear about it on Facebook. I'll have more to say, I think, on Sunday. I'll be doing the 2:05 p.m. Masses Saturday, Sunday, and then the 9 a.m. case. This week, I'm here. I'm here every day. I haven't gone back to the Abbey. Otherwise, I would have had to shave this off. You can always tell how long I'm here because of this, right? Okay. The longer it gets, the longer I've been here. So I've been doing what Father Marks would have been doing this week. I did a funeral yesterday. I did marriages, baptisms. Preparing young people for marriage, extra confessions, extra masses. Okay. It's been busy, not overwhelming. Okay. I'm in a good place. This is all new to me. I've had no regrets since this happened on Friday. It's going well. Thank you for your prayers. The funeral arrangements, you probably already know, okay? So it's this Sunday after the 5 p.m. Mass, you know, when people clear out, at 6:30 we'll have a viewing. Father Marx's body will be here. You can see it. A viewing I don't know how long this is gonna last. It just depends on how many people, all right? Okay, 7:30, there'll be rosary. I'll be leading the rosary, unless that changes. And then this coming Monday morning, 10 a.m., the funeral will be at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Rancho Cucamonga. You go up to 15, make a right on Foothill, and it's on Foothill Boulevard or Avenue, whatever it's called, just north of the street. Can't miss it. It's not our type of architecture, okay, but we're not there to critique the art, you know, the shape. We're there to pray. We're there because we don't have room for the funeral here. We don't have the parking lot, the church, they do, okay? So it's gonna be there. And I'm fine with that, okay? I'm fine with that. All right, so that's 10 a.m. Monday morning. And then from there, the burial, you just follow the cars, okay? The burial will take place. Some are saying Colton, some are saying Loma Linda. It's either way, it's both, okay? It's at Our Lady Queen of Peace Cemetery. And then after that, there'll be a reception here. All right here. So we start it here, we end it here. There'll be food, there'll be tents. All right, that's gonna be a lot of work. So if you see people out there coming in to set things up, that's what's going on. We have 3 days to get this up. Okay, so that's Father Mark's. This evening, 7 p.m., our bishop will be here to do a confirmation for our young people. Okay, so we're going to see him twice. We're going to see him tonight, Thursday evening, and then again Monday. And I'll say this, I'll say it again on Sunday. There's so much to say, but some of us would have expected that the diocese would have told us, you know, sooner about when all this was going to happen. The diocese has been really good. They've been on top of this from the beginning. I've been talking with different people in the diocese. The communication is very good. Very helpful, consoling, really. Give the diocese, the bishop, and his men an A+, okay? Which slowed things down. I don't know the details, but it was the communication between Father's doctor, the coroner, and then the mortuary. That's what slowed things down, not our diocese, okay? Our diocese did a very good job. They are doing a very good job. So the bishop's gonna do the funeral mass, but he's not gonna preach. It's gonna be a younger priest. Well, for you, he might seem old, but for me, he's not old. Father Edmund, who's known Father Marks for quite a while. And then the priest who's gonna do the gravesite rite is another priest that's been close to Father Marks, okay? Father Stephen Porter. These are wonderful priests, okay? The diocese made a good move in having these different priests do different things, okay? So we have, me, Father Edmund, Father Stephen, three priests, plus the bishop, okay? That will be all part of this. Chris, did you do the homework? All right. Okay. That's it. Let's stand and pray. We'll pray one Hail Mary. You know, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. One Hail Mary for Father Marks, that he may rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Noah, did you do the homework? And Josie? Anyone who did not get called? So last week I went over, you know, a little summary of the year, what we've done, where we're at now, where we're going. So if you missed all that by chance, just listen to last week's class. Okay, so it's this class today, and then two more classes for new information. And then in May, I mean, it's going to switch to 2 weeks of review. The exam, and then the mass and the party. The mass will be at 9:45 here, okay. Looks like. Anything that needs to be said, parents, anything out there? I've been so zeroing in on Father Mark's. I don't see what's going on beyond that. Okay. All right. Good. Today's class. Another good one. Okay, there's something going on bigger than me for these classes, believe me, okay? It's God is clearly helping me out with this. Let's think of the story of the prodigal son, right? The younger son who just took off with his father's belongings, money, and wasted them all, comes back. I want you to picture the older son. Did he forgive his younger brother? Class?
No.
We know that. Okay. Why do you say that? What tells you he did not forgive? Andrew?
Because when he saw them all party, and he was still working in the field, and he heard that his brother had returned, he realized that he couldn't forgive him for what he had done.
How do we know he did not forgive his brother, Claire?
Because he asked the father why was he killing the fattened calf, and that he shouldn't because he ran away from what happened.
All these years I've been faithful. You never had a party for me. And this, your son, he doesn't call him his brother, huh? Your son, he goes off and throws your money away, treats you like you're dead, and you have a party for him? That's not fair, huh? Does that sound like a lack of forgiveness? Huh? Is there something else that tells us he didn't forgive his brother? Is there something else? Not what he says to his father. Paul?
He doesn't want to go in and celebrate.
What do you think? He just shuts down. He's in the corner all by himself, pouting. No talking to anybody. No communication. He isolates. Okay? That doesn't necessarily mean someone doesn't forgive. Okay? But it could be a sign of a lack of forgiveness. Okay, sometimes you're badly hurt and you do need to be by yourself. Okay? But this brother just refused to come in. There's no way he's going to come in at all. Just shuts down communication. It's the father that has to come to him. If the father wouldn't have reached out to him, he would have never talked to anybody, probably. Okay. All right. Well, that's a good lead into today's class. Today's class, we have two topics. How to forgive, keep communication open, dialogue, talking, listening. It's two ways. It's not one way. It's two ways. And then actually do it. That's going to be on that board. So on this board, we have the first part, dialogue. Okay, so the prodigal son starts off here, too little communication, just shuts down. Some years ago I talked about the four temperaments. You may not have been in there. Any of the older students remember the four temperaments? Remember? Yes. That must have been quite a while ago. Okay, one of the four temperaments is the melancholic temperament. I'm partly that, okay? A bit too serious, more on the quiet side. I get my energy by being by myself, okay, not being at a party. Some people get their energy just being around people, okay? They're going to go crazy if they're not around people. I'll go crazy if I don't get time to myself, okay? I get replenished. Being by myself. Melancholics tend to be more on the deep side. They tend to stay away from superficiality. They get tired of it pretty quickly. Okay, they get bored by the party because it's generally just superficiality. Okay, we can't stay there very long, generally. We're more deep thinkers, philosophically, theologically, the deeper meaning of life. Melancholics tend to be more prayerful. They tend to be more on the listening side than the talking side. Okay? And when something happens when they're hurt, they're more likely to just shut down. That's how I was growing up. Okay? I couldn't verbalize what was going on inside, and I just had that kind of temperament where even if I could verbalize, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't have. Okay. Just shut down. Okay, so I'm going to call this a melancholic shutdown. And then you have another temperament, the sanguines. These are people that are more up, just enjoy life. The light of the there are party waiting to happen. They're social. They love fun. They do anything to stay away from the cross. They can't stand melancholics because they're just too serious. So come on, lighten up. Let your hair down, okay? Have some fun. Melancholics don't like being around them too long because of the superficiality. Sanguines tend to be more up and down. You know, they're happy 1 minute and then down the next, sad. But then they're back up again. they're more, like I said, more optimistic. The melancholics are more pessimistic. You know, they're more likely to think of what could go wrong. And the sanguines are more thinking of the things that could go well, you know? So we need both. The sanguines are more likely to be the blabbermouths. They just talk and talk and talk, just blab it all over the place, just bring it up over and over, let the whole world know that I was hurt, okay? Look what happened to me. So, I'm going to call these the sanguine blabbermouths, okay? There you go. So in general, up here you got the melancholic shutdown, and then down here the sanguine blabbermouths. Okay, the melancholics tend not to talk to anyone. They're not going to talk to the person that hurt them. I'm not talking to you ever again. You hurt me. Okay. They won't talk to others that know the situation that that they're close to, or that person who hurt them is close to, is shut down. And they're not likely to allow others to talk to them, to try to reason with them, trying to get them out of their funk. Okay? Help them through a process of forgiveness. These people are not likely to want to talk. Okay? All right. They just want to feel sorry for themselves and just cry and cry and cry. Whereas with those that go to the... Okay, so these are two extremes, okay? This is not healthy. None of these are healthy. The balance is in the middle. Why do you keep looking at each other? Alright, so these are extremes. The balance is going to be down here, okay? The wrong kind of communication. That would be the older son talking to the father. He's communicating, but it's not words of forgiveness. It's the opposite. Words of unforgiveness. Words that are just going to make it worse. It is a way of breaking down communication. Both ways you're breaking down communication. These people aren't saying anything, and these people are breaking down communication by saying the wrong things, okay? And they just keep blabbing it over and over, all over the family, relatives, all over the neighborhood, the school, the company. Oh, I hear that a lot in the confessional. Okay? You easily get sucked into these kinds of gossipy... it goes on in this parish. I gotta address this one of these days, okay? There's these women out there that just... blah, blah, blah. And the husbands don't know what's going on. They're aloof, or they're just passive, and they're just letting their wives just spread this, you know... Okay, so all over the place. The parish, the world, everybody, they're all over Facebook, poor me, look what happened to me, okay? Or they just keep bringing it up over and over. Their husband, their wife did it 20 years ago, it's under the bridge, but they just have to keep bringing it up over and over and over, okay? It's a sign of a lack of forgiveness. All right? Okay, this is all too much. It's not effective communication, okay? Any questions here? I'm moving along pretty quickly. Okay, so this is all off balance. This is extreme, all right? We want to avoid the extremes. Here's the balance. We have a role model.
Okay, there's lots of good role models out there, but here's the best. Jesus, the role, I didn't spell. Did I model? Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Through his teaching and his example. So we go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. If your brother hurts you, offends you, sins against you, or at least you think he did, she did. Sometimes a person really didn't, but in your interpretation, your judgment, the way you see things, you know, maybe you're thin-skinned, just too sensitive. You think that person sins against you. You go to your brother. You go to the person who hurt you. That's the problem with gossiping. They're going to everybody else. They're just spreading it all over the company, all over the parish, all over the school, but they're not going to the person. This is cowardice-ness. You have a problem with your brother, you go to your brother. That's what Jesus says. Anything else is not of God. It's down, it's from below. Okay? You go to that person. That takes some courage, huh? We don't want to go, yes?
What happens if they, like, scorn you and turn you down?
Your what? At least you tried, okay? At least you did your part. You followed the gospel, that person did not. So you have to look back years later and regret that you didn't do your part. Okay? You do what Jesus says you should do. Okay? We can't force people to do what they're supposed to do. But that's not an excuse for us to avoid our part. So this means reaching out. You go to your brother. See, when we're hurt by someone, we expect them to come to us. Oh, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Sometimes they do, but don't count on it. Okay? Who's going to make the first move, you know? Well, Jesus said if someone hurts you, you be the one to reach out. Okay? Point out your hurt. Maybe the person doesn't know they hurt you. I've come across this. Generally, the person who is hurt is more likely to remember. The person who does the hurting may not be aware or may not remember. Point out the hurt, you point out, if there really is sin, you point out the sin. Here's what happened. Okay. It may involve helping the person to forgive. Here's how to, the person who offends may not know how to undo the damage. Okay, but maybe you do. Maybe you can help that person to amend what's wrong. Okay, to remedy the situation. Sophia?
Maybe you should tell people the way that
that you would want them to treat you, huh? That's right. Treat others as you would want them to treat you. Yes?
And another way of sometimes people do it is they ask someone else to do it for them. Like they want someone else to tell them what they
Sometimes you got to do that. Okay, if you know they're just not going to listen to you, but they'll listen to someone else, okay, then you use that approach. Okay. So you point out the hurt, the sin, possibly the remedy. You listen to what that person has to say. Try to get their perspective. Sometimes you already know, but other times you may not know the full story. Okay? To seek understanding instead of just focusing on your hurt, to kind of get beyond that and look at it from this other person's perspective, to be in their shoes, where they're coming from. Okay? It may not, you may think, I mean, after hearing their side, you may think, well, they're still guilty, it's still their fault, even though all this other stuff happened. Okay, but it also might make it easier to forgive, knowing where they're coming from, knowing what they've gone through. You might become more compassionate. I've experienced that. Of being a harsh judge, and then getting the other person's perspective, and then feeling bad that I was so harsh in my judgment. And after hearing what they say, you know, to be more compassionate. Okay? And try to reconcile. Okay, so this is dialogue. Talking and listening, this is dialogue. It's not just one or the other. This is what Jesus wants us to do. This is what he taught. Go to your brother. This is dialogue. Okay? It's not going to, like you said, it's not going to work in every situation, but this is the ideal to strive for. Okay? We also know from Jesus' example about dialoguing, huh? When he was on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. That's communication. Instead of shutting down, I mean, he had a very difficult time breathing. He was slowly suffocating. He's all stretched out. His body is hanging. It took tremendous effort just to speak. Just to get a few words out. And it, you know, trying to get some breath back in you. Okay, so sometimes words are cheap. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it. You know, behind the person is an angry parent kind of forcing the child to do it. Sometimes words are cheap, but not here. Those words were not cheap, okay? And then after the resurrection, after Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't go in a corner and pout and isolate. He went through the wall of the upper room where the disciples were, his disciples, and he communicated. It is tempting, right? You know, especially if you're more melancholic, it is a temptation to isolate. To just be so wrapped up in your pain, and that's all you really want to think about. Okay? It can be quite hard to be with other people. All right? Talk it out. But he does. He sees the apostles, the women, Mary, Magdalene, all the apostles, multiple times during those 40 days before he ascended. Multiple times. And yeah, and he didn't keep, okay, so he appeared multiple times, he didn't just go isolate, nor, so that would be up here, too little communication, nor did he just keep bringing it up all over again. You guys were cowards, you all ran away, you all said you'd hang with me, but you denied me, you doubted. Okay, he didn't bring it up. That's forgiveness. That's amazing. What did he do? He saw his disciples. He goes up to Peter and communicates with him. The one that denied him three times, asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And then he puts him in charge of the whole church. Does that sound like forgiveness? Wow, he didn't like punish him or put him in the doghouse. You know, now you're on probation. You know, I'll get back to you in a year. And if you're good, then maybe I'll make you a bishop or a cardinal. Yes.
All your stonetronics are banned.
What?
Electronics,
stonetronics. Oh, yeah. Take away his electronic stuff. So Peter, he doesn't avoid Peter, okay? Talking to all the other apostles, but avoiding him. And same with Thomas. Thomas who doubted, that's a sin. Some people don't realize this is a sin. Oh, I'm just like doubting Thomas. I need to see before I believe. That's a sin, okay? Why are you bragging about this? And Jesus invited him to put his fingers, his hands into his wounds. I won't believe until I put my finger, I put my hand, his hand. Just imagine how big that wound was in his side to fit a hand in there. That's a big wound, okay? Okay, so here's our role model of communication, of dialogue. Dialoguing with Peter. Huh? Asking him a question, do you love me? And then listening to the answer. Any questions about B? You ask some good questions, making good input here. Okay, we're ready to turn this to the other side. It's a little shorter. Okay, so dialogue, and then do it! Don't just... wait for it to happen. You got to do it. Now, one way to get to the final step to actually do it, this is it right here, do it. You go to the person and say, I forgive you. These other parts are helpful, and necessary, okay? Imagine yourself doing it. Picture yourself going up to that person and expressing forgiveness. Okay, it might be a hug, might be words, it might be both. Okay. You might have a creative way of doing this. It might be doing something kind for that person. Picture that. Picture what you would say, what you would do. Picture that person. Okay, yeah, you're angry, you're hurt, you're upset, you're sad. Sometimes in that situation, we don't want that person in our imagination. We want to just kick them out. Okay? But being able to do this is going to help you better do this. If you can do this, you're more likely to do this. If you can't do this, you're not ready for this. Now, imagination is different than the mind. The mind has to do with thoughts. The imagination has to do with imagery, mental pictures. Okay? So this is images. This is concepts. Okay? What are the words you're going to use? Think about what you're going to say. Be prepared. That's going to... Knowing what to say is going to help you get to this step here. But if you don't know what to say, you're not quite ready for this step. You might want to practice it. Picture yourself saying those words. And to mean it in your heart. It's got to, this is essential. These two are just absolutely essential in order to get to here. Okay? It can't be your parents forcing you to do this and get it over with. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Yeah, I'll get over it in 10 years from now. Okay. You got to mean it in your heart. Which basically that means to keep on loving that person. Have compassion towards that person. Unconditional love, the Christ-like love, supernatural love. It's not going to be a feel-good love. This is not going to feel good. If you're expecting a warm, fuzzy feeling, maybe it'll happen if the person is sorry and appreciates your forgiveness, you might feel quite good, huh? Really good. But maybe not. And maybe they don't want your forgiveness. They're not going to admit that they did any wrong. Practice saying the words out loud. If you have a hard time expressing yourself, practice. You do that before your exam with me. You speak out loud. You do it to your parents or your brothers, sisters, your pet rabbit. Okay? Your favorite doll or puppet. Practice saying the words and then do it. Do it. Do it before God. God, I forgive this person. Right? That's That's communication. That's effective communication. Say it to God. Say it to the person who hurt you. Maybe you're not able to say it to the person who hurt you. Maybe they're just, you know, 10,000 miles away and you don't know where they live. They're not saying where they live. No one knows where they live. Okay. But if you're able to contact that person, connect with that person, go for it. If you can't, then you go to step three. Go to a person who's connected to this person, like Paul said, okay? Maybe this person is dead, okay? So you tell it to someone close to that person. You know, I couldn't say this to the person who hurt me, but I'll say it to you. Okay? That's a good sign of forgiveness.
Also, the way St. Maria Goretti did, since she was in the hospital, she told
yes.
the priest,
yes.
I forgive him. I
yes.
want him to be in heaven.
There you go. There you go. Wasn't that a good question the priest asked?
Yeah.
That's perfect. Just perfect. Huh? Do you forgive? Okay, so you do it once. Sometimes that's the only opportunity you get. But you may be able to do it in 100 different ways without saying the same words by how you treat that person, what you do for that person. How you relate to that person. A smile, or at least being civil. Okay, maybe you'll never be good friends again. All right? But at least to have some connection. Okay. Do it again. And sometimes it means doing it better the next time. And the next time, okay, so that it's more wholehearted. Sometimes it happens you forgive a person, but not wholeheartedly. Sometimes you get other opportunities so that it can become more and more wholehearted. Sometimes it's not just a one-shot deal. But to do it over and over and many, you know, dozens and dozens of different ways, but over a period of time, it's more and more wholehearted. There's a growth in forgiveness. And then it makes it easier that the next time you're hurt by someone, it'll get easier and easier. Don't do it. These are not absolutes, some of these, okay? Some of this is relative. Don't go to that person if you're likely to be abused again, severely abused, verbally, emotionally, mentally, physically. Stay away from that person. Tell God you forgive that person. Tell someone else who's connected to that person you forgive. Maybe communicate in an indirect way. Write a letter. Okay. So you may not be able to do this. But you can always do this, this, and this. 1, 2, and 3. You may be able to do this indirectly, writing a letter, but not personally. You may not be able to do this face-to-face, with that person, but you can always picture yourself forgiving that person, thinking of the words, saying, mentally saying the words of forgiveness and mean it in your heart. But if you know it's going to lead to, you know, abuse, stay away from this and this. Especially if you're young, you're easily hurt. You're not going to be protected. Now, if there's an adult there where you're protected, then it's safe, then you could do it. Okay, but it's not a good idea if you're a little pipsqueak going up to a 300-pound abuser and saying, "I forgive you." You might be abused again. I mean, you're probably going to be abused again. Just stay away, okay? All right, so that's it. Any questions? So next, yes, Peter.
What if you are a little tiny pipsqueak?
I'm saying stay away, right? Unless there's other 300 pounders around or people who know martial arts. You have a boxer friend. Okay. Bring the whole, bring your buddies, your thugs.
Yeah.
Bring your gang, and then you can say it. All right. So next week we have two other D words: the word definition and then the word deliverance. Okay. Let's stand. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning.